Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hi there, a warm welcome cycling fans to the 2019 Tour de France Racing Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm really excited for this one. 3 weeks of epic action. I'm joined by Matt Ireland and Nick Pulford, two star members of the Racing Post peloton, as well as from Paddy Power, their cycling expert, Jamie Arnold. Welcome along, chaps. We will be looking at who's going to win yellow, who's going to win green, who's going to win white, who's going to win polka dots, who's going to win stage one, who's going to be on the podium, who's going to be in the top 10, top team, everything else. So buckle down, make sure your tyres are nice and inflated, grab a pen and paper. The action starts in Brussels on Saturday and lasts for 3 weeks. And this year, because of Chris Froome's unfortunate crash and various other factors, it's wide open. So before the lads start spraying their opinions around, let's get a nice big outright show from Paddy Power, Jamie.
So we're four places, fifth of the odds there. We've got Egan Bernal, 9-4 favourite, Geraint Thomas, 5-2, Jacob Fuglsang, 5-1, Adam Yates, 12-1, Nairo Quintana, 14-1, Richie Porte, 14-1, and 18-1 the rest.
Excellent stuff. Right then, Matt, you can go first. Who is going to win the 2019 Tour de France?
It's a very open year, obviously with Froome's crash, and I thought this was going to be de Moulin's year. But with him not taking part, I'm going to take a bit of a flyer at Thibaut Pinot to become the first Frenchman in 34 years to win the Tour. He's been kind of weighed down by expectation in the past. He won the Young Riders in 2014. But I think he's probably over that now. He was third in the Giro last year. He didn't then do the Tour because he was so kind of exhausted. He won the Giro Lombardia at the end of last year. He's won two stages at the Vuelta. He's had quite a gentle build-up, which is, you know, I think we saw with Primoz Roglic in the Giro that he had such a hectic build-up that kind of cost him in the final week. So I think that will be in his favour. He won the Tour de l'An and was fifth, quite a good fifth in the Dauphiné recently behind Jakob Fuglsang, who I would kind of respect this year. He's had a golden year, but it's very skinny at 9-2.
And the lack of time trialing this year should help the pure climbers, shouldn't it? There's a 25 odd kilometre team time trial, yeah, where we're not expecting huge gaps on day two.
No.
And then there's a 27k time trial quite late on, isn't there?
So yes,
it's not going to be one of them ones where the climbers find that they're doing really well but then just get blitzed by a Chris Froome time trial.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay, so Pinot is Matt's main selection. Nick, who are you going for?
I'm going for Adam Yates. I've been trying to rule out all the favourites as much as I could, but the two most solid ones near the top of the market to me, the two I would be interested in are Egan Bernal. I think he's, you know, there's nothing wrong with him, but the value's gone. And then, you know, I kept trying to rule out Adam Yates, and I couldn't find a reason to rule him out, really. I think his form's very solid. He's been riding all the right races. He even rode well in Liège-Bastogne-Liège that Fuglsang won. In the Dauphiné last time, he didn't ride the last stage, apparently because of an upset stomach, but he was only 8 seconds down overall at that stage. So he's done nothing wrong. He's the right age. Simon, his twin, is going to ride and ride as like a super domestique to help him. In repayment of Adam helping Simon win Vuelta last year. So, you know, I just think he's very solid. And I do agree that, you know, it's a climber's tour. Time trialing is not going to be that important, although Adam's time trialing has improved a lot. So, you know, I can't really see him being out of it. The only question we've got over virtually everyone is what they're going to be like in the third week. You know, he's got that question, but so have they all, you know.
And he's finished fourth in a better tour field than this, I suppose, hasn't he, Nick?
Yeah, and he rode brilliantly that year. The question is, you know, he hasn't really done it again since. You know, he hasn't kind of shown that progression, but he's targeted it this year. It's all he's looked at. He's rode all the right races. He's rode really well in all of them. You know, he's been up there second in Catalonia, second in Tirreno Adriatico. That's always an important one. So, you know, I kept trying to rule him out, and I just couldn't. And, you know, I think he'll go really well. You know, he could be another British winner, you know.
Well, I mean, the British record in Grand Tours is absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? When you think, I mean, I've loved cycling from the early 80s, and it used to be a big deal if we had a guy in a break. Now, it's, you know, we just win these things routinely. It's astonishing, isn't it? Jamie, who is your number one tour fancy?
A bit of the same along with Matt there. I'm a big fan of, I think the French have got a great chance this year. I think they're actually, I think Pinot and Bardet are both real live outsiders there, especially with the four places that we're paying there, especially Pinot. I think he's a climber's man. I think he'll be very good in week three. So I think he's a great shout for a place there. I do like Fuglsang at the top three in the market. You know, Bernal, as Nick said there, the price seems to have gone on Bernal there, and I just can't see how Geraint Thomas wins it again.
Why not? Because that's crucial. Because, I mean, you know, if he turns up in the same form as last year, you know, he could ride away with this. But, I mean, there's been, obviously he's had the crash, hasn't he, which cost him that crucial prep in Switzerland. There's also been one or two rumours that perhaps he hasn't been in quite the same form for whatever reason. So is he weak in the market there, Jamie, as well?
Yeah, he is. There's definitely not been the support there was last year for him anyway. So, yeah, he's been very weak in the market. We have seen the market, there's been a lot of support for Bernal. It's been pretty open, really. No one really, I don't think anyone's too sure, to be honest.
No, I mean, it's a really interesting tour, isn't it? Because, you know, you could literally have 20 goes and not necessarily nail the winner.
Do you not get the kind of the sense that he's a guy, if he wins it once, he'd be happy?
Possibly. Possibly. And he's 33. This isn't how he used to, you know, this isn't what he grew up doing, is it? He became like Wiggins, became a Grand Tour cyclist. You've got to be slightly careful, haven't you? Because, you know, he could just turn around and say, yeah, well, actually, I have been training fantastically up Mount Tady or wherever and win it. But certainly the market vibes seem to suggest that Bernal is Ineos' number one.
And don't forget,
he's 33, Thomas.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of co-leadership either, I think.
Well, no.
You know, last year he won it by proxy in terms of, like, Froome was always plan A, but he built up such a big lead that it was kind of impossible not to back him.
Exactly. So Jamie, you're going for Pinot as your number one or Bardet, sorry?
Just to go away from Matt, I'll go Fuglsang, actually. I think he was very impressive in the criterium there. And if I was to put go all in for the win only, it'd be Fuglsang, yeah.
Okay, so number one selections. Matt's going for Pinot. Nick is going for Adam Yates. And Jamie is going for Fuglsang. Who else do we want to chuck into the outright mix? Because there are so many big price contenders. And Matt, I think you share my fancy for someone who no one else has got on their radar, except maybe for polka dots.
Yeah, at some point, Julian Alaphilippe is going to have a go at this tour, and this wouldn't be a bad one to target. He's obviously the reigning king of the mountains, so we know he can climb. He can sprint with the best of them. He's possibly the best all-round rider in the peloton at the minute. You know, obviously, he's unproven riding 3 weeks for GC rather than just kind of targeting stages and having a couple of days active recovery. But you can get 200-1 out there, and that is just ludicrous.
You have to throw a few especially, quid at that.
Yeah, and especially, you've got to throw a few quid, and especially when there's people further up the list, like Rowan Dennis, who've got no chance,
exactly,
at like a quarter of the price.
My thing with cycling is I think it's a very, or it certainly was, it's getting better with the likes of Brailsford, but it's a very uninnovative sport, and sometimes I don't think they realise themselves how good they are and what they're capable of. The reason I like Alaphilippe this year is that the way the route is, he actually might find himself in yellow on day three. I think that Quickstep will have a really good team time trial, and then stage three is made for him. He might find himself in yellow, and rather like Van Avermaet last year, you're obliged then to defend it, aren't you? He's won polka dots. He doesn't need to go off chasing all those silly polka dot jerseys. He's won that. I've got a feeling he's going to put up a massive, massive defense.
Yeah, and they've got like Aymeric Masses kind of there, nominal leader, but you'd say Alaphilippe's probably definitely a better rider than him. You know, Mass has proven it one Grand Tour last year of Vuelta, which is a bit of an anomaly. So yeah, I'm pretty sweet.
Yeah, I couldn't
agree
more.
Certainly.
I like him. Any long shots apart from Adam Yates that tickle your fancy, Nick Pulford?
Well, can I just say on Alaphilippe, to be honest, I hadn't really considered him myself. You know, and I'm not too sure, because the thing we haven't discussed yet is how high this tour is going to go. And I think that is going to play into the hands of people like Bernal and Quintana, you know, and I think you will have to be able to be an exceptional climber. I'm not sure Alaphilippe is.
I think he, look, at 200 to 1, you don't need to, there's no point picking loads of holes in it. He's 200 to 1, isn't he? I mean, yes, we know that, Nick, but, you know, it's got to be worth a couple of quid. So who else are you going to go for apart from Adam Yates?
Just on him getting an early lead, Alaphilippe, is that stage 6 will suit him as well, the first summit finish. You know, that's made for him as well, up that gravel slope at the end.
Yes.
Well, outsiders, not as big as that, but Rigoberto Urán, you know, you've got to throw him in. You know, he's such a kind of one-off, really, in the way he prepares. And I think it suits it. The team he's with suits him. They leave him to it. He did have the crash at Paris-Nice that set him back. But, you know, he was second a couple of years ago, and he's very solid on the climbs. He can time trial okay, but like we say, you know, I don't think it really comes down to it whether he can time trial, you know, a minute here or there. It's not going to matter too much. The other ones I had down, you know, around that normal 33 to 140 to 1 sort of mark were Landa, I think, is too big a price. They always worry me when they come out of the Giro, but he rode really well there. The thing about him is, you know, whether he attacks enough and whether he believes in himself enough. And I really like Henrik Mas, but he was disappointing, I have to say, at Tour de Suisse. So I kind of ruled him off. So probably my best one of the longer prices is probably Landa, I think.
I like him out of the movie star. And I think this year that, you know, I think he'll get a little bit more leeway because I'm not mad on Quintana. Jamie, who else do you like at bigger prices?
Just one for me. I like Dan Martin. I think he's just Mr. Consistent. I think he'll do well. Yeah, especially week 3 is obviously the big week. You can see 100 to 1 around, and you know, I think like his top 10's pretty much odds on for him. So hope a couple of the guys fault. I think Dan Martin's a big outsider there.
I agree. And this is the whole point of this race. I don't like the front three at all. I don't particularly like the next three, who are Quintana, Yates, and can't think of who the other one is now. I can't have at all. So I'm just every single time getting down the list, I'm like, yeah, he's got a chance. And Martin definitely falls into that category. So I think that's an absolutely brilliant shout. I mean, obviously with all these long prices, there's a temptation to say, well, look, I'm actually just going to play safe and back them for podium finish or top 10. But I'm not sure that's the way to go, Jamie. With four places, you'd be sick, wouldn't you, if you backed someone like Martin for the podium. If you're not backing him to win, you're only backing him to finish second or third. You're taking out one of the three possibilities on the podium. That's crazy. To me, you have to go each way on Dan Martin. Do you not agree, Jamie?
Yeah, totally agree. I think that's why we've kind of we've gone for four places there. You know, I'm not a huge fan myself of the podium finish market. It does seem to drive up some interest. But yeah, like exactly what you said there. For if you do want to give the three against the three top ones, you're looking at that fourth place finish as a really live outsider. So yeah, that's where I'd be going for that.
I'm going to whiz through some of the other names, and I just want a quick line from each of the guys on who they fancy. So let's just talk a little bit more about Bernal, Matt. What would be the positives and negatives there?
The route, definitely the route. There's five peaks over 2,000 metres this year. And, you know, he's Colombian. He's a proper pure climber. That would be the positive. The negative would be whether it's him or Thomas, you just don't know.
Yeah. Thomas, does he float your boat this year, Nick?
No, he doesn't. I was looking to oppose him anyway, even before his crash, really. But, I mean, last year, he was in the same position Fuglsang's in this year, where he had all the form and he'd won the Dauphiné. And he was absolutely flying. That was the best form he'd been in going into a tour. But, you know, he's nothing like that this year. You know, he's like shorter racing days. He's missed more racing days crashing out Tour de Suisse. So, And this route is not really at all up his street. So, you know, there's lots of reasons to be against Thomas. But now the other big positive with him is his team. You know, they know how to win. They really know how to win, you know.
Do when they've got the likes of Froome and an on fire Thomas. Yeah. I'm just not sure this year. You like Fuglsang, Jamie. I must admit, I think he's desperately short for a 34-year-old who's never shown anything in Grand Tour. What's your view on Quintana, Jamie?
I think Quintana's a popular selection, but yeah, I think 14s is way too short for Quintana. I don't think he's got it in him to really finish this tour off. So I'd be very much against Quintana there.
I'm interested, Matt, in your view on Kruijswijk. He's another rider that I could just see being on the periphery of that top four.
I think what price is he, Jamie? About 25s?
He's 18s of us, yeah. He was for four places there.
I backed him 80-1 last year and he came fifth, four places. So I think, again, he's a nearly man, isn't he? He should have won the Giro. It was unfortunate with that kind of crash in the snow. But Jumbo-Visma, I think they showed in the Giro with Roglic, don't think they've got the team in the mountains.
I think they'll have a very good team time trial. I think they might.
Yeah.
I think they might win that. And Nick, tell me about a German guy who's caught my eye this year and I think is very much in the mix. If I was going to have a top 10 bet, it'd be this guy, and it's Emmanuel Buchmann.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's another one.
That sounded like a not for me.
he's
is he? Well, okay.
I mean, he's definitely on the up. I don't know. I just don't know when it gets really tough at the top. I think he'll be one of those that's, you know, when there's 10 going clear, he'll be one who's dropping off the back. I just have that feeling about him, really.
Because you've got him in the top. You've got him as your top 10.
He would be my top 10 because if you actually look at his performances at the tour, he was 83rd the first time, 21st the next, 15th in 2017. Didn't ride last year. Was 12th in the Vuelta. He's on that upward curve all the time. He's only 26. He's being nursed along slowly by Bora. He was third at the Tour of the Basque Country, seventh at Romandy, and third at Dauphiné. He can't win, in my opinion, but he will ride to finish as high as possible, whereas the people who, you know, I don't think Quintana can win, his chances have been and gone, but he would ride to, you know, I don't think it matters. If he came third, he'd rather come 21st.
Sure. I get that. I mean, the only thing is that mountain win in the Tour of Basque Country was really impressive, I thought. I've got a thing about this guy, and I thought his Dauphiné time trial was good as well. What price is Buchmann for top 10, please, Jamie?
Buchmann top 10 is 4-5.
4-5, yeah, I think we can safely take that. Nick, have you got anything for top 10?
Well, I mean, the one, because a lot of them are around that odds on sort of mark, you know, even money sort of mark. And I looked for a bit bigger and I've picked out Michael Woods, who's like 6-1, 9-1, that sort of mark. He was seventh at the Vuelta 2 years ago. He won a stage at the Vuelta last year. It just depends whether he ends up targeting stages or not as to whether, you know, he would go for the top 10. But I think probably if he finds himself in there, he'd probably like to see whether he can ride with them and sort of set a marker for himself for next year, because he's quite a latecomer to cycling, because he was a big runner initially. And, you know, I think he's still trying to find out where he is in cycling. So I think if he found himself in the top 10, he might ride for top 10. If he finds himself well out of it, I think he'll go for stage wins. So just depends which way he ends up going, you know.
But that makes sense.
He's been top 10 in the four minor stage races that he's finished this year. So
he's got that nice level of consistency that you need for
that. I
think
on our train of thinking, Alaphilippe's about 14 for top 10. So
yeah, I mean, I could do that because I could see Alaphilippe, if he's going to find himself in yellow and he's got to defend that rather than go for dots, you might find that the Friday and the Saturday will just be too much. But you know, he could stay in the top 10 and you're in a great trading position there, aren't you? Yeah. Jamie, give me a price on Zakarin top 10. I just thought, you know, again, as with Nick, a lot of these guys from the middle bracket of outsiders are around about even money. But I just thought with Zakarin, he might be someone who could sneak in at top 10 at a slightly bigger price.
It's like you read my mind, Bruce. He's quite I really think he's a big price. We're 3-1. You know, there is a bigger price available, but you know, I really like Zakarin for a top 10. You know, he's got, I mean, he finished ninth last year. He's got, I think it's four out of the last 3 years, he's finished in the top 10 in the Grand Tours. I think Zakarin looks a very big price for a top 10 finish. He's very consistent. And yeah, he's one that I really like there for the top 10.
Lovely. Great minds. Well, one great mind and one absolute moron, but I'm glad the great mind agrees with the moron. Okay, great stuff. We're off and running. That is stage one. We're going to look at the King of the Mountains next.
Friends, or maybe more. Earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Right then, welcome back to the Racing Post Tour de France postcast. Let's look at the King of the Mountains now. Jamie, take it away with the show from Paddy Power.
Yeah, King of the Mountains. So we've got Alaphilippe at 13-8. We're three places here, quarter of the odds. Alaphilippe 13-8, Warren Barguil 6-1, Julio Ciccone 10-1, Nibali 12-1, Mikel Landa 14s, and 16-1 Bernal, and the rest at bigger prices.
Nick Pulford, this is tough, isn't it? Because we've talked about the favourite here, Alaphilippe, who everyone is assuming is going to target the dots, but Matt and I think might go for yellow. So you're not absolutely certain here that the favourite wants to win it, are you? What's your take on King of the Mountains?
Yeah, well, it'd be too short for me, you know, at the start of a 3 week race anyway. You know, I always like to, personally, I like to see whether they, you know, start to show the colours, whether they're going to go for it or not. So if I'm going to have a bet at the start of it, I always want to go for someone who's going to be up there on GC. And I can see that if Bernal's going to be there or thereabouts, I think he'll be up there on the mountains. And I think he's about 16-1. And, you know, like Froome, you know, he was top three in the mountains in four of the six Grand Tours he's won. Nibali was second when he won the tour. So, you know, I think you're automatically going to be up there, and especially the way they do it at the moment, especially because it's such a tough climbing tour, you're gonna get a lot of points by being there at the end. So, you know, Bernal, you know, I think he's a way in to back him if you've missed the value on him for the overall, because, you know, you could still go each way and be getting like 4-1 for the place, you know, and that's a longer price than backing him for the overall. So
okay, so Bernal for Nick. Ian, Jamie, who's your fancy for polka dots this year?
I have to go with Barguil. I think I had Alaphilippe and Barguil much closer in the order. I think 13-8 and 6-1. It's quite a big gap between them. You know, I hope Alaphilippe takes on this GC as much as she does, because a Barguil at three places, quarter the odds at sixes, is an each way bet to nothing, really. I think he's destined for a top three finish in King of the Mountains there. So, and I do think he's very much closer to Alaphilippe than the betting would suggest.
Barguil, a bargain, says Jamie. Who'd you like for King of the Mountains, Matt?
I'm going for the shark.
Yeah,
Enzo Nibali.
Similar lines this year.
He said after the Giro, when he came second, he said that he didn't think he had the energy to go for GC and was going to either target the dots or stages. You know, he's a former tour, really. He's won loads of Grand Tours. 14, you can get about 14-1 for as a good price. Another one we said about Enric Mas, he's 70s to this, and if you fancy him for the, you know, any top 10, he's going to be there on the sort of thing at the business end of the big stages. You know, second in the Vuelta, and that might have been a bit of beginner's luck, but he's got everything you want from a King of the Mountains winner.
Can't be any luck if you finish second in a 3 week race, my friend. The only thing with Nibali is I just wonder if, having seen Dumoulin and Froome come out, they might actually think, do you know what? I'm going to have a go at this year.
That's the doubt.
The other thing is, Nick, with this being so open this year and the mountains coming where they do, are you going to have enough climbers far enough back that the GC guys are going to give them that rope early on in the stages to go and actually just snipe for mountains points? Because I just think that this year, unlike others, there's going to be so many riders that the peloton are going to be really reluctant to jump clear, because they might just end up nicking 8 minutes or something and find themselves 5 minutes clear in yellow.
And nobody knows, none of those leaders really know how much time they've got to play with, you know, because they've never been in that position before, and they don't know what's to come. So I don't think they'll be giving too much rope to anyone, really. So.
No, it's an interesting one. Let's look at the points classification. The green jersey, which Peter Sagan normally wins, and the bookies think he will win again, don't they, Jamie?
They do, yeah. We've got Peter Sagan at 4-9, Viviani at 5-1, Gronovegan at 5-1, Matthews at 7-1, and 16-1 Ewan, and the rest at bigger prices.
And you can go first, Jamie. Who do you like?
I'm a big fan of Gronovegan. I've been watching him the last couple of years, and I think I'm a real fan of, I think, three places. We're paying three places, caught the odds there. And there's, 11-2 around there, and I think he really gives Sagan a run for his money this year. I like him for the first stage, and he's much better than Viviani in my eyes. And
yeah, I don't get that Viviani price Sagan at all. That stinks. We 5-1 Viviani.
Yeah, and and I just think Gronovegan's much closer to Sagan than like a 4-9 and 5-1 there. So I'm a big fan of Gronovegan there.
Sounds like an each way double of Barguil and Gronovegan could be the order of the day for you, Jamie, doesn't it?
I think you'd be looking at my accounts there, but yeah, that looks like the way forward.
Matt, is this going to be another Sagan cakewalk or not?
You'd think so, but I think we did one of these 2 years ago and I said you can throw him into the certainties of life along with death and taxes, and he got thrown out. he should win, but he's not been as dominant as he usually has in the spring. Gronovegan would be the sprinter I'd take against him. Matthews has come out and said he was training in the mountains to be a support for Dumoulin, and obviously he's not really done much sprint training. If you want a flyer, I've got Wout van Aert at 25s. He's a former cyclocross world champion, massive talent, sprints, gets over the lumpy stuff. He'd be a play in each way or betting without for me.
He's a really interesting proposition because he can climb, he can time trial.
I think he's going to be given carte blanche as well to do anything he wants.
I agree. I think he could wreak some havoc this year. Nick, who do you like for points?
Well, I mean, obviously, Sagan's the clear favourite, but I just thought Michael Matthews, because I think it's if he's going to be someone else, I don't think it'll be someone from the pure sprinters, because there aren't enough stages for them. So I think that's why Viviani's up there, because there's the assumption that he can ride on the hillier stages as well. But Michael Matthews is better at that, I think, and he won when Sagan didn't a couple of years ago. He's consistent. He goes well on the hilly stages. He was going pretty well at Tour de Suisse against Sagan. Sagan showed a lot more form there, actually. So, he's got to be favourite. But Michael Matthews, I think he's 7-1. So he'd be my only shout, really, against him.
OK, let's round up all the other bets, including Stage 1 next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet the next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post. 2019 Tour de France postcast is Bruce Millington, Matt Ireland, Nick Pulford and Paddy Powers, Jamie Arnold. Right then, let's quickly do young rider, because I suppose, Jamie, Bernal is very short for this, is he?
He is, yeah. He's Bernal is 4-11 there. We've got Enric Mas at 5-2 and Gourdou at 10-1 and Benoot 14s and bigger prices the rest.
Right, very simple question, Matt. Are you going to oppose Bernal?
Yeah, just on the price. He probably will win it. It's his to lose. I've just got one at 40s, Max Schatzmann.
Ooh, Bora.
Yeah, just been crowned German champion. He held the young rider's jersey at last year's 2018 Giro for 5 or 6 stages. Yeah, he might not win, but I think, you probably want to trade at 40s, and then before they get into the real high mountains, you'd probably be onto a good bet.
Mr. Pulford?
Well, I've got Schatzmann down on my list as well.
Oh, excellent.
I mean, I like Gourdou, but he's only 22, and I think, when you look back at the Roll of Honour, this has got like a golden list on it. So, it's always won by a rider heading for the top. So the obvious ones are Bernal, Mas and Gourdou to me. Gaudu's a bit too young, so for the bigger prices, Schatzmann. I thought he was third in Liège-Bastogne-Liège, fifth in Flèche-Wallon, fifth in Amstel Gold, so he had a brilliant spring. And Matt said, he's just won the German road race, So I think he's one of the reasons why, I wonder, I think he might be better than Buchmann. in that team. So,
okay,
you know, he's one of the reasons why I was sort of, you know, less keen on Bookman, because I think Shackman might come to the fore.
So. Maybe they'll both be great, and maybe Bora will win the team prize, which we will look at after Jamie tells us who he likes for the white jersey.
Yeah, I'm with Nick there. I think Godu's a good price there. I think he probably hasn't had the toughest of starts of the season, so it's tough to know how well he'll get on. But I think he's an absolute talent, and I think he's going to be one for the definitely future. So I think he's a big price at tens to take on Bernal there.
Okay, Jamie, we'll stick with you for a show of betting on the team prize, for which Movistar, who again field their trio of Landa, Quintana and Valverde, supported by various others, a very warm favourite. It's a little too warm for my liking, I have to say.
Yeah, Movistar are 4-7 there, Ineos 4-1, Astana 12s and 14s-1 FDJ and the rest.
What price are you, Mitchelton Scott?
22s.
Nick, I was trying to find a third rider to go with the Yates twins to make Mitchelton Scott value. I can't find one, so I'm a little flummoxed on the team, but I want to take on Movistar. What's your take on it?
I'd probably go... I mean, Ineos are probably the best team, but they always will give up some of their chances, won't they?
It's all about that third man, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, maybe to kind of quick step, if Alaphilippe's going to go that well, and Mass, you know, they've only got to find another one, haven't they? And
they're not all that easy.
They're all effectively riding for themselves, so they're not giving their chances away to other people. So maybe then. Maybe.
Okay, Jamie, have you got a fancy for the team prize?
I think I have a little bet on Astana. I think I'm not exactly sure what their whole big plan is for this. So you've got to think the team classification could be one they go after. So I think Astana are a big price. I think 14s is available.
You've got Fuglsang's going to figure. Who else is going to be up there for them?
I just think they've got a... Yeah, it's, go on, sorry.
No, go on, you tell me.
You know,
Pado Bilbao is a Aguirre, yeah. I mean, Luis Leon Sanchez is always the stage man, so he's not on it. Who?
Fraile on the stage.
Yeah, no, that's a fair shout. Matt, what about you? Anything?
Yeah, I've not really something I'd look into, but, you know, Jamie's made quite a good call for Astana, just looking at the prices. I think they're 14-1 is pretty fair, given, yeah, they've got a few climbers in there who will probably be, you know, supporting Fuglsang.
Excellent. Okay. Two more we're going to do. We're going to do stage one, and then I'm going to ask the lads if they've got anyone who they think will win a stage, pop up and win a stage, and they need to back them because otherwise they'll kick themselves. I've got a couple, but let's look at stage one first. It's a tour starting in and coming back to Brussels and going in various ports of call around Belgium. It's almost all flat. There's a couple of bumps early on, so it should be a sprint, and I'm sure that's reflected in the betting, Jamie.
It is. We're three places there. So Gonnevegan at 7-4, Caleb Ewan 3-1, Viviani 3-1, Peter Sagan 11-2, Colbrelli 16-1, and Bigger the rest.
Matt, I've got to say the sprints at this year's Tour de France don't interest me at all. I don't think it's much in the way of quality, not much in the way of depth, and not much in the way of opportunity. So I'm going to be zoning out a little for the sprint stages, but who do you see is the most likely predominant fast man?
Oh, Groenewegen. Yeah, definitely.
Do you think he'll kick off with a win?
Yeah, this is a pretty simple one, I think. You know, I know he's not here, but your ear is your Cavendishes and your Greipels. That's over. I saw one website had Greipel 8-1 to win a single stage, which just shows you.
He always does, though.
But he's not with Lotto anymore, no. Is he? So. You know, I think he has proved this year he is the best around. You know, I'm a big fan of Gaviria, but since he's moved to UAE, he's not been the same kind of rider. Your two main rivals are Caleb Ewan and Elia Viviani, who've both ridden over half of the Giro, so they've that in their legs. I think, you know, Groenewegen is the fastest man around at the moment, and he would definitely be my bet.
Matt's going for the jolly in stage one. What are you going to do, Nick?
Yeah, I agree. It's Groenewegen or Ewan, but Ewan hasn't got the experience, you know, and it takes a while to get used to it. And Groenewegen took a while to get used to it, but, you know, now he's right on top of it. So, you know,
I'd be quite keen, Nick, on Ewan versus Viviani in a match bet. I've got to say that. I think Viviani, I could get proved spectacularly wrong, but I just think he's just too short for everything he's been quoted for this year.
Yeah. And he had a bad Giro, so he's got a lot to repair, really, in his reputation. You know, I just don't think he's got the form, you know. And he's good because he comes off the track, but he is more of a track rider who's made himself into a road rider to me. You know, he's better on the track than he is the road. So
he's from the best lead out. He's got the best team in Quickstep. They've got, you know, a bit like Kittel was the best sprinter, but I think Viviani, you know, his performance is enhanced by the fact he's got the best lead out in the...
Two votes for Groenewegen. Jamie, is it three?
It has to be three. I'm a big I'm a fan for him all over, unfortunately. It's not a surprising pick there, but I just think I thought he'd be much shorter when it's a surprise to see coming to 2-1 being quoted and even 9-4 in places. I think he should be much shorter, to be honest.
I must say I'm itching for stage two. I can't wait for you guys to price that up. Can you do it before stage one, please?
I'll try my best, just for you.
Good man.
Just for you.
I'm very keen on that. Just very quickly, we'll get work because there's no prices yet. Team time trial, who do you like, Matt?
I've not looked at it, I'm afraid.
Okay, I'm going to go for Jumbo. Who are you going to go for, Nick?
I go for Mitchelton Scott, I think.
Okay. Yeah, and Ian, Jamie, who do you like for the team time trial?
Mitchelton Scott would be an interesting one. I think they've got an outside chance there. I mean, yeah, Mitchelton Scott
should be quite wide open, shouldn't it, when prices do appear? Because there won't be huge gaps. I wouldn't have thought over 27Ks. Right then, boys, anything else you want to mention? Is there someone who's going to pop up with a stage win? Is there a particular thing that you're looking forward to striking at some point in the race? Matt?
Yeah, I've got a stage hunter. Dimension Data, it's always been Steve Cummins in the past. I think it's Ben King this year, American climber. He won two stages of Vuelta last year, which were his first Grand Tour successes. You know, he won't be going for any kind of jersey win or anything, but he will be going for stages. And if there's a break, I would expect him to be in it.
Okay, I always back Luis Leon Sanchez with a shark tooth profile. I'm hoping he's going to come good. He's in good form this year. And I think Mathieu Trentin is often, there's a type of stage and there's three or four this year that will suit him. So I think Trentin will win a stage. Nick?
And there's definitely a stage there for Michael Woods if he's in that form and that's what he decides to do and he's targeting that more than the GC, there's definitely a stage there for him.
Lovely. Jamie?
I like the youngster Chicone to get a stage there. He's been impressive all year and a bit of a recency bias, I guess, there. But I think he a stage, and I've seen 3-1, 7-2 quoted there. I think it's a big price.
The only thing with stages, isn't it? They win the day after you've backed them and you haven't backed them. It is so frustrating. Right then, chaps, this is absolutely fantastic. Great stuff. I want you to round off a fantastic podcast with a winning nap.
This will not be beaten.
Matthew Ireland.
I am going for Nibali each way in the King of the Mountains.
Nick Pulford.
I'm going for Bernal each way in the King of the Mountains.
Oh, Jamie Arnold.
Groenewegen in points classification each way, but I do think he takes Sagan close.
Okay, and I'm going to go for glory. I'm going to say Julian Alaphilippe each way with four places for the whole shebang. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. I hope you enjoy the 3 weeks. Really looking forward to it. Thank you very much indeed for watching or listening to the Racing Post Tour de France podcast. More great podcasts on a multitude of other sports, racing, golf, you name it, coming up. Stick with us.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.